morning. I am Cynthia Hirakawa, and I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii. And assisting me today will be Pauline O'Hattie and also Yvonne Davis. And the game plan this morning is to have a special tribute to a special person. And what we'll be doing is singing maybe one or two verses of several different songs, so you might want to get your books ready. And we'll start this morning with print page 142, Braille page 154. Print page 142, Braille page 154, first verse only of Praise Him, Praise Him.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangel in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guide His children. In His arms He'll carry them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Let's bow our heads for a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise You this morning for this world that we live in, for this place that we have to worship You, and for the wonderful woman whom we are paying tribute to today, Miss Fanny Crosby. We pray that as we share information about her life and her music, that we will be blessed and be reminded of what it was like to be blind way back over 100 years ago. Help us as we take part in this service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you can see, the first song we sang was written by Fanny J. Crosby, and every song that we'll be doing today will be written by Fanny J. Crosby. I call this devotion or this praise and prayer service a tribute to Fanny Crosby. Amen. Fanny Crosby was born in southeast Putnam County, New York, on March 24, 1820. On her birth certificate, her name is Frances Jane Crosby. However, everyone called her Fanny from the beginning, and as she got older, everyone called her Aunt Fanny, even if they weren't her nephews and nieces. It was a respectful term, and everyone felt that she was a part of them, and that's why they called her Aunt Fanny. But did you know that as prolific a hymn writer as she is, that her first claim to fame was actually as a poet? Her first poem was written at age 9. Her first book, which was a book of poetry entitled The Blind Girl and Other Poems, was published in 1844 when she was only 24. She was well published in the Saturday Evening Post with her poems even before she became a hymn writer. During the 1850s, with the onset of the revival movement in the United States and with the surge in popularity of Dwight L. Moody, Fanny's spiritual awakening occurred. Her first hymn was actually written in 1863. She had collaborated with William Bradbury on a patriotic song for the Civil War, and after the war, they decided to change the words to make it a hymn. And that was the spawning of Fanny's hymn writing career. She went on to went on a roll after that, you know, writing anywhere from 8,000 to 9,000 hymns. But this all didn't start, you know, until 1863, when Fanny was 43 years old. Her inspiration for songs came from many different facets. On one occasion, she was visiting with her friend, Mrs. Phoebe Knapp, who was the wife of Joseph Knapp, who founded the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. Mrs. Knapp liked to write tunes, and one day she shared one with Fanny, and she played a tune for Fanny to listen to. What does that, this melody say to you? Mrs. Knapp asked Fanny. And Fanny's reply, you can all say it together, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. So let's turn now to that song, which is page 20 in print and page 22 in Braille, and we will sing together verses 1 and 3. Print page 20, in Braille page 22. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a portent of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Verse 3, perfect submission, all is at rest. I, my Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Two tragic events occurred in Fanny's first year of life. First, when she was about 6 weeks old, she had an eye infection. Unfortunately, at that time, the doctor that normally serviced the area was not available. He was out of town. And so the family was frantically looking for a doctor to treat this eye condition. Well, there was a man who appeared who said that he was a doctor and that he could help her. So he proceeded to fix this hot eye compress and put it on her eye, saying that it would bring out the infection. Well, it didn't quite do that. In today's world, we would call it medical malpractice, because what it did was it scarred her eyes and resulted in her blindness. And I don't have to tell you that in those days, because families were so close, that man had to leave town and was never seen or heard of again. The other sad thing that occurred in the first year of Fanny's life was the death of her father, John Crosby. So her mother, Mercy Crosby, had to work to support Fanny, and so her upbringing was left to her grandmother, Eunice. And that woman was such a saintly woman. She grounded Fanny in her faith spiritually, teaching her about God and how to pray. Later, when her mother moved to take a new job, Fanny was left in the care of a woman who decided that if she was blind and couldn't read the Bible, she needed to memorize it and to learn it and commit it to memory. So Fanny had committed the Bible to memory and could quote any verse when called upon. And this honed her ability to memorize so that she was able later on to write a song in her head, because she didn't have anything to write it down with, and a day later or several days later could dictate that same information to someone to write it all down. She also was a very generous person. She gave away money she earned. Anything she earned from the hymns that she wrote, she gave away to those who she felt was less fortunate than she. On one occasion, she didn't have enough money to pay the rent, and she expressed her need in prayer to God. A few minutes later, her doorbell rang, and a person, a total stranger, who had come, just handed her a bill and left. And what do you know? That bill that he left was just enough to pay the rent. And that's how the Lord had led Fanny all through her life. Let's now turn to print page 6, braille page 7, and sing the first verse of All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
Amen. All the way my Savior leads me, what am I to ask beside? Can I count his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well.
Eunice Crosby wanted her blind granddaughter to experience as much of life as she could, even though she couldn't see. So she described to Fanny what she saw in nature, the stars, the flowers, the birds, so that Fanny was able to learn a lot from her. And the words of her songs show that she had an appreciation of nature and of the world around her. She could identify birds by their song, and she could identify flowers and plants by touching and smelling them. Her favorite flower was the violet. These early experiences helped her to be more sensitive to the needs of others and to the leading of God. Fanny had received many requests to speak and to counsel people during her lifetime after she started writing hymns. And she wrote many of her hymns because of what had happened to her. On one occasion, one of her music collaborators, Howard Doan, gave her a tune to which he wanted words to be written based on Luke 14:23, which says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." She sort of meditated on that for a while, and then she saw a vision in her mind of a mother longing for a lost child to come home. So the next presentation that she made, the next meeting that she attended, she felt that compulsion and said, if there's anyone in the audience who has gone away from their mother's teaching and wants to come and talk, please come up, and I want to share Christ with you. That was the birth of the word, of the song, Rescue the Perishing. So let's turn to print page 147, Braille page 160. Print page 147, Braille 160, and we will do verses 1 and 3. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch dead and busy, the sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen. Son of Jesus, almighty to save, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for the labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently wind them. Well, poor wanderer, a Savior has died. Care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. At age 14, Fanny was sent to the New York Institute of for the Blind. While there, her skills as a poet were nurtured. She wrote poems for anything, for special occasions, poems in the honor of distinguished visitors who came to the school, and whatever came to her mind. After graduating from the school, she remained as a teacher for several years. One of the students that came through the school was a man named Alexander Van Alstyne. Upon leaving the school, he worked as a musician and music teacher. Their friendship blossomed so that Fanny left the institute to marry him on March 5th, 1858. In 1859, they had one child, but unfortunately, that child died in infancy. Eventually, the couple's lives took separate courses, but they never divorced, remaining friends and encouraged each other until her husband died. And what if Fanny's ministry took her to all kinds of places we wouldn't or I wouldn't want to go. She went to prisons. She went to the Bowery, to the poorer section of town, and oftentimes she would go alone walking the streets in places we would consider dangerous. At a prison meeting during a message that was being preached, one inmate cried out, "Good Lord, do not pass me by." This was the inspiration for, you know what song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." And we'll do the first verse, which turn to page 141 in print, 153 in Braille. Just the first verse.
Be not so gentle, Savior. Hear my humble cry. Lord, others thou art calling. Do not cast me far.
Crosby was loved and respected by those who knew her and heard her speak. She considered people like Dwight L. Moody, Ira Sankey, and Henry Ward Beecher her friends. She knew several presidents, including Ulysses S. Grant and Grover Cleveland. As a matter of fact, she first met Grover Cleveland when he was working at the New York Institute for the Blind. Did you know that one of the things that Grover Cleveland did before he became president was to take dictation from Fanny Crosby on some of the poems that she wrote? The song that Fanny called her soul or heart song was inspired by a sermon written by her distant cousin, the Presbyterian minister, Dr. Howard Crosby. The words engraved on her heart were, from his sermon, "No Christian need fear death. That same grace that teaches us how to live also teaches us how to die." This sermon was read to her after, in 1891, after his death. It was the same year in which Fanny lost her mother and her grandniece and Joseph Knapp. The song was written, she wrote a poem on this, and she based it on Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. "Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." The poem was written and then filed away by her publisher until 1894. When Fanny was at the Northfield Bible Conference, Adoniram Judson Gordon had spoken on the Holy Spirit. After his message, several people were asked to speak, including D.L. Moody, and they tried to get Fanny to come up and say a few words. At first, Fanny was very reluctant, but she was finally convinced to come up and say something. So after she made a few introductory remarks, she said, "I'd like to share with you a poem that I wrote several years ago that has never been put to music." And when she read that poem, people were so moved by it that George Stebbins was later asked to write some music to it. So that poem was pulled out of the vault and published as the song "Saved by Grace." And I'd like to sing that for you right now, and if you know the chorus, please be free to join in. If you don't know the chorus, by the second verse, you will.
Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday my earthly house will fall, I cannot tell how soon 'twill be. But this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by see him face to face and tell the story face by face.
Did you know that Fanny Crosby not only knew a lot of people, she was a lot of people because, as I said, she wrote about 8,000 or 9,000 hymns and was too embarrassed to have them all published under the name Fanny Crosby. So she had about over 20 different names. So if you see a hymnal, there could be, in fact, there's some hymnals that have the byline, not as Fanny J. Crosby, but Fanny Van Alstyne, which is her married name. And she made up other names for herself, too. But over all this, was she bitter about being blind? No. When a prominent clergyman remarked sympathetically to her, "I think it is a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when he showered so many other gifts upon you," Fanny replied quickly, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I should be born blind?" "Why?" asked the astonished clergyman. "Because," she replied, "when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." Fanny Crosby saw the face of her Savior on February 12th, 1915. She was buried in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Her gravestone at the time of her death just read Fanny Crosby. Aunt Fanny, I'm sorry. It just read Aunt Fanny. However, in 1975, she was inducted to the Gospel Music Hall of Fame, and the people in Bridgeport felt that this was not a suitable monument for such a wonderful person. So they put a monument up that not only said Aunt Fanny, but also Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, oh what a foretaste of glory divine.
Amen.
That ends the tribute to Fanny Crosby. What we'd like to do now is Pauline here? Okay, to help with the